It is Simply His Coffee Shop. We are so glad that you're here for another episode with us. It's going to be a wonderful episode. We have the founder of Royal Family Kids Camps, which is very close to mine and Nita's heart, and the rest of us, actually. We also have two other special guests in the studio that we will also be introducing. This is Wayne Tesh. He is the founder of Royal Family Kids. Can you tell us a little bit about how and why you started Royal Family Kids Camp?
Oh, that goes back a long ways. And I must say, it's really nice being surrounded by so many good-looking women.
Oh, thank
you. I feel very honored to be part of this.
Starting out, right?
Yeah, this is a good way to start a day. The beginning of Royal Family, I like to say, started in the mind and heart of God.
Yes.
It was imparted to me when I was 12 years old at a camp where on the shores of Lake Ontario in upstate New York. It was a Thursday night. It was a Quonset hut-shaped chapel with wooden benches and sawdust on the floor. And a child of age 12, I just wanted to do what God wanted me
right.
to do. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Dear God, what am I supposed to do with my life?" And it was in that moment that I saw a collage of children's faces, blacks, Hispanic, Asian, Caucasian faces. And God spoke to me at that moment. And one of the interesting things is when my mom came up to pick me up on Saturday, she said, "Wayne, what happened to camp?" And I said, "You won't believe it, Mom, but God's called me into the ministry. I'm going to go work with children, and I'm going to go to California to make it happen."
Was she excited for you on that?
Well, she said that her true words were, "Oh, no, not another minister." Because what it was is that back in those days, back in the last century, if you were a minister, you probably never got off the family rolls.
Right.
And my mom and dad were already supporting two family members in the ministry.
Right.
So they probably thought I'd never get off the family rolls. But God had an interesting plan. So anyways, it was 12 years later. I'm in California. I'm now a minister, and it's the first time I'm on staff of a church, and I had an 8-foot table as a folding table.
Right. I've been there.
And I had a folding desk chair as my desk chair. And my background was physical education and biblical studies and religion. And then all of a sudden, now I'm a minister, and I can remember the prayer. I folded my hands. I said, "Dear God, what am I supposed to do now?
Right.
As a minister."
Yeah.
And I looked on the back wall and I saw children's faces, blacks, Hispanic, Asian, Caucasian faces again.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
And I said, "Well, God, you called me a camp, or you found me a camp, or I found you a camp. At least I can create an environment where other kids can find you." So we started camps. And for the next 12 years, we ran 10 weeks of day camp, 10 weeks of junior high camp, kids camps, water skiing camps, canoeing camps. We were just into camp, family camps.
Right.
We just did that. When I was 36, we started our first Royal Family Kids Camp, and it was a Thursday night. I'll always remember this. Mm-hmm. I'm in the chapel with 37 children, and I looked out, and no longer was it just a dream.
Right.
But it was a reality.
Because your vision had come to fruition.
It was just so powerful. I can still remember that.
Wow.
As I looked out and saw those children's faces, and the Spirit of God whispered to me and said, "This is what I want you to do."
That's
so
incredible.
For the next 5-6 years, we did that. And in 1985, we started Royal Family. 1990 is when I was launched. The church launched us into full-time ministry. And that's what we've been doing. And God has blessed.
Absolutely.
How fortunate I am. Very few people see the multiplication of the fish and loaves.
Absolutely.
You know, the feeding of the 5,000. But what started with 37 kids, we now take 10,000 kids
summer.
And with that 10,000 kids, that's 7.5% of all the children in foster care between the ages of 6 and 12.
That's incredible.
So these are all foster care kids. And these are kids that have been thrown up against walls and locked in closets.
Yep.
Children who hide under their beds in fear and whose nightmares are real.
Wow.
Children who have been beaten with 2x4s and whipped with bicycle chains.
Unbelievable.
It's unimaginable.
It's completely unbelievable.
And yeah. I came from a home where I was loved.
Right.
And yes. to be able to be part of that and to be able to be in the Cathedral of the Outdoors for 1 week.
Right.
With God's people providing hope and healing
Absolutely.
For children. Their lives are changed. The trajectory of generations are changed.
Absolutely.
Because we showed up.
Right.
As a group of people and made a difference in their lives.
And that's one of the things that I was even telling Joe about, too. I said, you know, as much as it is wonderful to minister to these kids, and that's the main reason, but the people that pour into this ministry yes. is like they have to get ready spiritually, emotionally, even physically to a degree, because, you know, they're constantly going and going. But the
time stamina.
That they exactly yeah. the time that they take out of their lives, even, you know, to minister to these kids, I said that in itself is incredible.
One of the interesting things, Catherine, is that they say the best kept secret is that it does more for the adults than
Absolutely.
It does for the kids.
Yeah. Well, and I think we've even kind of seen that too with a lot of the counselors that have come up. You know, they've shared with us privately, you know, when the kids are off doing an activity, they'll tell us stories about things that have happened in that camp or past camps and how it's affected them. And that's why they come back every single year to do it.
And they give up their vacation.
Yes.
They do.
And and in their mind, they're making, in the beginning, I'm sure, that they're making this sacrifice for the good of the children.
Absolutely.
But then they come away with probably more than they would take away from a regular vacation if they had gone somewhere.
You can't outgive God.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's very true.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about this is that he's talking about, you mentioned earlier, that, you know, you had a degree in Bible and theology and that your background was in physical education.
Correct.
And that you weren't sure how it even all came together. And then look at this unique ministry.
Yep.
Yes.
And if you look at the statistics in like problematic lifestyles in the adult sphere, a lot of these people started in foster care. And so when you change the trajectory of their life, you're changing society as a whole.
Absolutely.
And you were just somebody who just followed your path and followed God's will and what God put in front of you to do. And look what happened.
You know, now I'm in the twilight of my life to be able to recognize how God has blessed and to hear the stories.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I talked to about once a week, we get a phone call from somebody who's been to Royal Family, and they call and how are things going? What's happening? This one kid called, and he heard my voice, and he said, "I'm so glad you're alive. I thought you'd be dead by now."
Goodness.
Oh, really? Come on. You know,
it's like, I'm not that old.
Yeah, I'm not that old. You know?
Just have no concept of
no
time.
No concept of how
they don't.
I look. So
yeah, they really
it's
don't.
Just kind of, it's just really special to be able to hear the voices of the children.
Yes.
And the confidence that they now have because they have been involved with
Right. And it's been very incredible, I know, for us and for my family because, like, my daughters, Kate and Nita, Kate had been able to work a couple summers ago, and then Nita, this was her first year to be able to actually work with the kids. So, you know, it's kind of coming full circle that they're being able to see this ministry and the impact that it has on the kids.
I would like to add that these young ladies have also had an impact on the children who came to visit.
Right.
And I wasn't sure at first, would it work for Nita? And to be truthful, she came at a time when COVID had took some of my workers, and these two girls came and rescued our program.
Yeah.
Having said that, thank you. They deserve that. They stepped up to the plate and helped get us through the summer. But what I wanted to say is that at first I was a little bit not sure how they would receive a young peer-aged kid working in a work scenario, but they tagged her immediately, the kid who works.
That's awesome.
And it's
good
because
job, you guys.
She would scoop horse manure and whatever there was to do, she was there, and Kate was there to drive carts.
No, it's been a wonderful experience for them because then they get to see too firsthand the transformation of the kids. You know, when they get there the first day, how they go through this transformation throughout the entire week, where sometimes they're very scared or angry, and then through the week they're able to process a lot of emotions just from feeling that love that you guys try to encourage at camp with all of the staff.
You know, you mentioned a legacy.
Yes.
What a legacy of service.
Yes.
Your family is doing for a kids that you will never see maybe again, but right. You know you've planted the seeds of hope right. and healing in their lives. I just think that's incredible to have as a legacy, in that it's a legacy of service.
Right. It's wonderful.
And every year when these kids come through the camp, you know, we may not see them ever again.
Right.
But this year we experienced something that was so amazing, is that we are now seeing these little children who have aged out a few years ago. They're coming back now as counselors.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And that's an awesome thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Because... this is fruits of our investment, of our labor. I mean, you know, you send them out and you don't know, and it's really hard to see them go.
Yes.
But then when they come back, and this year I've had more kids tell me, we're coming back to help as soon as we can. And it's like, this is just, you don't even know, Wayne, the desire that God put in your heart where it is right now, and it is not even end. It's not even nowhere the end yet.
Because you were the same age as Nita is now.
Yes. Yep.
When God spoke to you and put that on your heart. So that's kind of cool, you know, to see that.
You know, and the magnitude of what is taken from 37 children. Mm-hmm. We're now in 42 states where we take 10,000 kids and 15,000 adults every summer. We're in 8 foreign countries. It's just amazing what God does.
And it just
continues
to grow. And that's incredible to think that something that just started out in the heart of a little boy turned into such a great ministry.
One of the things that I realize, when you plant the seed in a young child's life, it's going to take 15 to 20 years for that to really begin to grow and mature. Mm-hmm. By that time, many adults forget that they were called when they were kids because they just get involved in doing the work.
Life happens.
But to be able to say that God called me at age 12, and I know that.
Right.
And it just makes a huge difference in how you perceive how God works.
Exactly.
It's a very powerful point.
I know that the name has kind of recently changed from Royal Family to For the Children.
Correct.
Correct? But I wanted to find out, why did you choose Royal Family Kids Camp?
Well,
how did that come about?
I'll always remember this one. We're in my office with a group of 8 people, and we said we want to make it both sacred and secular so that the name would have the same. It wouldn't just be a secular name or just a sacred name.
Right.
So we said Royal. And I must confess, back in the 80s, there was something going on across the pond with Prince Charles and Princess Diana. And we said, why don't we just call it the Royal Family? And we said, oh, man, that just sounds good, because that's part of the Royal Family, God's family, as well as Royal Family. We treat everybody like
royalty.
Kings and queens, you know, and so it just fit well.
That's awesome.
And then we said, why don't we put kids in it? And then I said, well, you know, my harebrained idea, well, why don't we put camp? So Royal Family Kids Camp.
There you go.
Well, everything I've read since then is you should only, if you can, make a name one word. If you can, maybe 2, 3 the most. Because when you add 4, it really tends to get butchered.
Yeah.
We were called Royal Kids Family Camps, Royal Camp for Family Kids.
It was just
unbelievable.
That's why we shortened it to RFK.
That's right. Everybody does that. And that's one of the reasons, yes.
Can I shift gears just for a sec?
Of course.
I would like for us to talk a little bit about what goes on during one of these camps, because I don't know that the public understands that some of these kids have never had a birthday.
Yes.
So expound a little bit on that.
Basically, this camp is so unique in that we have one adult for 2 kids.
Mm-hmm.
Our first year, we had 1 to 3.
Wow.
And that was kind of awkward there was only 2 hands, and there's always a third person out. Mm. So we said, no, that's not going to work. So it's 1 to 2 and sometimes 1 to 1. Every camp has a grandpa and grandma.
Yep.
Every camp has an aunt and an uncle.
Yeah,
we want to create that family feeling and closeness. Matter of fact, some camps call their counselors cousins.
Yes, they do.
You know, just so that it's all part of that
family
get-together like
that. It's positivity towards family.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, the whole emphasis is God's family is the family
bigger.
Want to belong to.
Yeah.
And from that, everybody's birthday. One of the things we found out is that our kids, many of them, never celebrated their birthday.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we said, that's not right.
Yeah, and see, but these kids are as old as 12 years old.
Yeah, and never celebrated.
Never had their own birthday.
And we remember that when it came down, I'll get choked up on this. I saw this little girl opening up her birthday card and reading it, open it up, and she read it like 3-4 times, and I'm going, there's a present at the hey, don't you want to open up your present? Don't you want to see what's in your present? She said, I've never gotten a birthday card before. And I said, that's not right.
No, it's not.
Here in America, no, to not celebrate children's birthdays. I said we needed to change that.
Absolutely.
So we started everybody's birthday party, and it's amazing what has transpired from that. And
well, and on the card note, I know that even the ponies get to send mail, because then they start the mail
deal. So they put the hoof print to it? Isn't that great?
Well, they even write them notes. Nita goes, and with the help of some of her staff, they actually write notes to the kids, because the kids have mail time, because obviously the kids never get mail because they move around so much. Right. So no birthday cards, no birthday party, no mail ever. So they have mail time every single day. So the ponies even get to send mail to all of the kids and get their names and write them little notes. So that's so much fun for the kids as well.
One of the things that we've noticed is that we call those heart notes. And there are some camps that have post office boxes for each kid.
Yes, we have one.
It's just unbelievable because the only mail that they do get is usually from the government.
Right.
And it's not happy mail.
No.
It's not happy mail. So we said we needed to do that. So so that's what we've done. Every camp, and we have 250 camps across the nation, and every camp has heart notes. When they're adults, I've been in homes of 25, 30, 35-year-old alumni of royal family. They come out with their bio box.
Oh, they still have it?
They open it up. They bring out their memory book.
Oh, my goodness.
Pictures. They bring out their heart notes.
Oh, my goodness.
And this one kid kept all 4 T-shirts.
Oh, my goodness. That is so cool.
It was just unbelievable. And they have their Bible. Yep. They'll keep one Bible in there, and they'll say, I read another one. They have their MP3 players that we started with cassette tapes.
Yep.
It's just unbelievable, because they say those are our only memories from childhood that we have.
Mm-hmm. That is so sad. And, but so incredible, because that is the seed that you did give them.
Years later, they're still talking about the pictures that they have. I remember one little girl that came home and said to her mom, her foster mom, she said, Mom, I'm beautiful. Look at this picture. I'm beautiful. It's the first time she ever had a picture of herself. So it's all those stories that just...
Well, and some of the camps even will have talent shows, which I know my girls absolutely love that.
I'm so sad every time we miss one. I just love them. It's so cool.
Yeah, they're pretty cool to watch. One thing that I also really enjoyed doing was that me and my sister Nita were invited to one of the tea parties.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And that was really fun. It is so cute, because the girls get to get dressed up in these old, beautiful
prom dresses.
Yes. And it's like their only time that they get to have like really pretty clothes
on. And they have somebody do their hair.
And it was just the most cutest thing I've ever seen. And we had these really cute plates of food that had like this really nice looking chicken with some rice. And it was just really adorable.
An elegant meal.
Yeah.
And some cutesy little desserts. It was so cool.
Yeah, we were one of those.
Sorry, that's what she uses. Namesake.
We were one of those, and this little girl, we were sitting across from her, and she's sitting there eating, and all of a sudden she goes, you haven't seen anything yet. And I didn't know what she was talking about. And it took me a minute, and then she stood up and twirled. She was like so proud of that dress she was in. But it was just funny. That was her intro. You haven't seen anything yet. And then she stood up and turned around.
Yes.
It was really cute. But she felt like a princess in that outfit.
That was another thing that I noticed, is that they would have the girls walk out in like a line. And they would
kind of announce them.
Like announce them, and sometimes they would even like. So I know some groups will even say like what a little bit about them, and then they'll be like, "Oh, their favorite animal was a dog," or "Their favorite color is purple," and then they'll you know have the kids like explain like what some of their favorite stuff is, and then they get a whole intro, and the smiles on their faces when they get to walk down in that beautiful dress and have an intro is just amazing to watch.
But they also it's really cute because they also announce what they want to be when they grow up, and some of them are like they want to be like a vet. Or they want to come back as a counselor or be like a doctor so they can help somebody or be a missionary. It's just, it was so cool.
One of the most moving things is that near the end of camp, when the counselors speak in many camps, they speak over the camper and they say what their name means.
Yep.
And they say, we've noticed these three traits that you have, and they pray for each one of them. And it's the first time that many of the campers have ever had any affirmation spoken over. I have noticed how you treated people and how kind you were. God has that as part of your life, and we hope that that will continue on. Yes. I mean, it's just the affirmation is overwhelming for kids that never receive affirmation.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
And I think every one of the groups, when they're finished at the end of the week, and then they take the kids back to the place where they started, so it's a church or wherever they started, and then they have this award ceremony so that every child gets some kind of an award. There's silly little things like the bestest runner and the goofiest goof-off or whatever, but they're all in fun. But they get acknowledged for something in a public setting. But then when the kids leave, the counselors all come together, and then they have this moment where they can share and kind of detox. So when they leave the camp, they're not done. They have a whole day ahead of them, and it's probably harder for them because they have to be the ones to commit these kids into the hands of God. And really, we don't know where they're going to go or what they're going to end up like, but knowing that we've had this short window of time to impact these kids and to plant seeds that will always be deep in their heart to bring them back to a moment. I mean,
I'll tell you a story on that. This is kind of weird. I got a phone call from a pastor who said, Wayne, you won't believe this. In Illinois, one of the things that has happened is that there's a person that invited pastors in the little village there at Lockport, Illinois, to come and to his bar. He owned a bar. And he wanted to do something of significance in the community. He had just moved there, bought this bar. And he said, if there's a Wednesday night that you would like to come and sing Christian songs at my bar, feel free to do that, which I thought was kind of unique. So the pastor was saying, and if he would like to raise some funds for things in the community that churches are doing. And this one pastor said, well, we've started a new program called Royal Family Kids Camp. And the owner of the new bar said, I know all about that. Said, well, it started out in California. Yeah. He said, I was one of the first campers in 1985 and 1986 that went to camp.
Wow.
He said, when I graduated from camp, I realized it was the happiest time of my whole life.
Wow.
I remembered so many great things. The smiles on the adult faces, the incredible food that we were able to eat. Mm-hmm. And he said, I wasn't very nice because I wasn't treated very nice and I didn't know how to treat people. And I was mistreated and it was only Royal Family for that week of heaven. And then I went back to hell for 51 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that made such an impact on my life. He said, I'm now, when I was 32, 33, I'm gone through all sorts of things. I feel like I'm a failure, and I'm sitting homeless on the curb in L.A., and I didn't have any shoes, and I tried to remember, what was the happiest time in my life? Because this sure isn't happiness for me. He said, God gave me a picture of when I was younger at Royal Family Kids Camp. And I said, the people there said, if you're ever in a pinch and you need help, you just need to pray. So he said, I just started to pray. Dear God, I messed up my life. I've done bad things. But I remember those people. And they said, all I have to do is pray. Could you help get out of this mess? Mm-hmm. He said it took him a while. It only took 6 months. And for him, that was like forever. But in 6 months, things changed.
Yeah.
And he was able to receive, he was involved in some lawsuits, and they came through, and he received some dollars in there. Mm-hmm. And all that he knew what to do was be involved in a bar. That's where he started. His wife is going to church. His baby is involved in church. It's just fantastic to see what has happened just because of the seeds that we planted.
Right.
Exactly.
That's what it's about.
That is what it's about.
I love that. That's true.
Unfortunately, we are out of time.
Well, that was fast.
It was very fast. But if you would like to learn more about any of this kind of ministry, you can go to whisperingponiesranch.com and get more information on how you can help. And Royal Family, I'm sure, has a website. What is that website?
Forthechildren.org.
There you go, forthechildren.org. And you can visit them and learn how you can get involved to helping these amazing little kids that need your help so desperately. You can host a camp.
Become a counselor.
You can be a prayer partner. You can even be a mail buddy. Send letters to them to give to the children. Yes. That in itself is a ministry.
Yes.
That's kind of a lost art anymore, actually. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Simply His, and we'll see you next time. Free.